Hi, this is Nick with the Family Gamers Day 2 at Gen Con here at Junk Spirit Game with David Gerard. How you doing?
Awesome, man. Thank you.
So what's been the most exciting thing so far in the 2 days that we've been here?
Yeah, right. It was insane yesterday. It was exciting to see some of the people that I've seen in previous years kind of come back and kind of support the team. It's always cool to see the people that have been following us since the beginning.
Oh, awesome. All right, so tell us a little bit about yourself and Junk Spirit Games.
So I've been a gamer since I was 10 years old, and I'm old now. For me, creating board games is like the way that I'm kind of giving back to the community that's taken me in for as long as it has. And so Junk Spirit Games is just a really tight team of guys that put games together. There's only four of us, and we're just self-publishing games and trying to do the best we can.
Oh, cool. Awesome. So tell us about some of your latest releases.
So our latest releases that we're showing off here at Gen Con is Tyler Sigmund's Crows. Tyler Sigmund is the creator of Darkest Dungeon, if you're familiar with that video game.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so I just happened to be at an event that he was at, and he was talking about how his old game is no longer in print because the company's bankrupt or whatever, they're gone.
Okay.
And I said, hey, show me that game, and he showed it to me, and I said, dude, this needs to be out. This needs to be, like, and also it was not looking good graphically and just components-wise and everything. So I was like, hey, let me take this from you and do a little royalties thing, and it's worked out great. Tyler's a great guy to work with, and he's very, he's just incredibly nice. And so having him just let us do that was just awesome. And so we're showing off the game now. The reception for it has been amazing. Everybody really loves the quality that we put into the game, all the little enhancements that we did to the gameplay as well. And it's been really, really good for the show.
Okay, cool. And then I know also you guys, Byron the Queen was recently on, or last year, I believe.
Yeah, it was the last year. Yeah, so we're a small team, so we're making like one game a year kind of thing. It's kind of like one game every 10 months-ish. Byron the Queen was our second game, and it's kind of our flagship kind of starter game, like kind of introduction to the world of Tessendor, which we've created.
Okay.
So we wanted to do this, a game similar to Arkham Horror or Elder Core or Pandemic, where you're cooperatively working together, the whole world's falling apart, and you're trying to, keep the world together as the game progresses. My throat's terrible right now already. Day two, I'm going bad. So as a good introduction to our world, we decided to world build. Many of the games we'll be making in the future will be in the same world. It's a very family-friendly, like, RPG kind of setting.
Oh, okay.
And so we kind of wanted to create that. I've got young kids, so does my artist. And we wanted to create, like, a world that we can, play with our younger kids, too, and have a good time. But then we wanted to make the game strategic enough where if you're an adult, you're not bored out of your mind, right?
Yeah.
So it's worked out really well. Our first game, Junking, which we obviously are selling here at Gen Con as well, is kind of in that same zone. But with Byron the Queen, we're able to kind of really focus on this Tessendor universe, and we snuck a little bit of the Tessendor universe into Tyler Sigmund's Crows.
Oh, neat.
And then we're also with our game that we're kind of showing off today or at Gen Con, but we're not it's not for sale, which will be kickstarting later, is Battle of the Bards, which is definitely set in our Tessendor universe, the same type of RPG feel, but all these bards are showing up to show off their talents at this annual competition.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
And before we talk about that, so Byron the Queen, it's like a co-op game, and what's the age entry on that one?
Yeah, so I always say that if you can read, you can play the games.
Okay.
So Byron the Queen I wanted to make a game that felt like you were kind of going through a campaign. All in one sitting. So if you can remember the last time you played Dungeons & Dragons or any type of role-playing game, you always remember like two or three cool things that happened. So we took those two or three cool things, those are like the highlights, and we put those into like event cards that you read. So all the cards read like these little like mini choose your own adventure stories.
Oh, neat.
And so we kind of like give that like the text over, and so especially when you're playing with young people who are there's always unusual words in there we've chosen. We whipped out the thesaurus and did some good work there.
Oh, neat.
And so we kind of just, that's the way that we kind of bring kids kind of into the fold for that. And so yeah, it's like we say 10 and up, but again, if you can read, you can play these games for sure.
Okay, cool. All right, so then tell us about your new game coming out, Battle of the Bards. I was really excited about this whole music theme.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I love the logo, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tyler put that together. He put about four of those together, and he was like, what do you think? And I was like, this one looks like Metallica. And I was like, how'd you get that? He was like, I put it into a Metallica filter. And I was like, oh, all right. And he's like, I'm going to fix this, though. It's going to look really cool. And he kind of like embellished the lightning a little bit, so it has a rounder edge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the logo is great.
That looks awesome.
And we definitely are kind of punching into that theme and having a great time with it. In Battle of the Bards, I wanted to make a game that was very dice-based. I have a couple buddies that I game with that if a game has a game where you roll out a dice, you know, he loves it, right?
Okay.
So, Battle of the Queen, you put dice in it, but every time we would play it, he'd be like, well, you only roll like 2 to 4 dice. I want like 20 dice. And I was like, dude, that's too much. He's like, 12 dice then, 12. You know? So I was like, all right, let's do this. So I kind of thought of this idea. So basically, Battle of the Bards, the way I kind of preface, or the way I promote it, I guess, or the elevator pitch for it is it's a dice rolling game with light deck building aspects.
Oh, okay.
And so what you do is you're playing these, you're playing a bard troop, and you have these very basic bards that you are using to perform. You're trying to create performances to please audiences, which is how you score. And then you can use wanted posters in the game to hire advanced bards that go into your deck, much like a deck builder, that then have very wild abilities. And so when they come back out on stage, they go crazy and they create better performances or whatever. And then you basically just play a really quick 45-minute game, you know, awesome. 10 up as normal. And it's meant to be very similar to games like... you know, like deck builders, okay. but with a like very heavy dice rolling aspect to it.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
So are the dice allow you to like modify what you're doing, what the cards do, or yeah, give
so,
you abilities?
No, so they just, it's very simple. We just have, it's just regular D6s. They're not custom or anything. Okay. And so all the bards, when you put them down, you get a dice, you know, you get a colored dice that's appropriate for their skill type. And then they all have an ability that uses a die roll.
Okay.
So very similar to Steampunk Rally. I don't know if you ever play that, where you get dice in the game and you just roll, and then you use the dice to get more dice and you roll those, and you're kind of like chaining off yourself and creating this like kind of like your turn is kind of like a big, you know, a big machine, and you're just kind of like churning in that machine to try to, in this case, create performances to please those audiences and capture them.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Right up my alley with that, especially the music kind of theme.
Yeah,
there.
Right. Yeah.
I don't see a lot of that in gaming either.
I know.
Music,
you know,
theme
we were
stuff.
We initially thought of the idea, we were like positive that somebody had done Battle of the Bards as a name.
Yeah.
Not taken. And then I started looking at other you know, music-based games. For board games, there's not really a lot. There's like 4 or 5 in the last maybe 10 years that are popular enough to even really pay attention to, which is crazy when you think about it, the amount of games that are released in a given year, right?
Yeah.
600 games at Gen Con this year.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you'd think that a lot of them, right? I mean, humans are in love with music. So
yeah.
You'd think that a lot of people would be making games that maybe hint a little bit at music, right?
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. So where'd the inspiration for this one come from? You're the designer, right?
I am the designer. Yeah, I'm like the lead of the team or whatever. I'm the guy who doesn't mind talking to people. You know, I'm just joking. So, but see, you know, it was funny because Justin called me on the phone, who's our artist, and he said, I got a game idea. I was like, all right. He's like, you know Battle of the Bands? I was like, okay. He's like, Battle of the Bards, you know? And I was like, okay, what's the game? He's like, no, that's the game. And I was like, no, that's a theme, dude. Like, you gave me a theme. And then he's like, well, I mean, you can do some stuff. You can, like, you know, like, you can sing some songs or whatever. And I was like, I'm not making a karaoke game, dude. And he's like, whatever. So then I didn't see him for, like, a week. I came back, and he's like, so I tried to make that game. I was all angry with you because you were being mean to me. And I was like, you gave me a theme, dude, right? So he's like, so I tried to make a game, and now I realize why you're a good designer, because this sucks. So I kind of milled on it for a while. We were working on some other game, and then I was moving a copy of Sagrada, right, like around my house. I was like, oh, let me put this on a different shelf. And when I grabbed it, I saw the 90 dice inside, and I was like, oh, wait a second. This is what I need. And it, like, it's so weird. It just hit me like a flash. I immediately jumped on the computer, and I wrote and created the game in a day.
Wow.
And then I was like, this is going to be awesome. And then I was like, I created all my little prototypes, went over to Justin's house, the artist, and I was like, oh, wait until you see this. It's going to be the bomb. And then we played it, and it was trash. It was garbage. And so I said, this is why you don't make a game in a day.
Right. You play
test
it. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that was about 7 months ago. And it's definitely evolved since then, and it's been awesome. And it's great because... you know, when we go to game stores, I live in Seattle area, which is like game stores, like
city,
every 5 miles is a game store. So, you know,
board game cafes, I hear.
Oh, big time, right? Yeah, big time. So, so you can always just pop in there and just sit down and be like, hey, I'm showing off this game. And everybody's like, oh, you know, so it's great. The community there is amazing. So it's been really great getting good feedback, and it's really easy to kind of iterate, create new stuff, and just keep going and, you know, and getting it to where it's at now.
So what would be, what's the age entry on this one?
Definitely 10 plus.
It's going to
be, actually, it's going to be in a zone where it's probably you probably don't really fully need to read because to be able to comprehend the game because it's all icons, right?
Yeah.
So you could probably get someone who's probably even, you know, 5 to 7 to do it. They're just rolling dice and then just, you know, bringing the dice down to you activate abilities, which are icon-based, right?
So definitely something family-friendly.
Oh, absolutely. Always. Always for us, right? So Junk Spirit Games, it's kind of like what we do.
Okay.
Awesome. I probably, when you asked me, I probably should have said this. We when I formed up the team, Justin has 4 kids and I have 2 kids in the same age range, and we were like, hey, let's just make like family friendly games that are strategic enough to not bore the parents,
right?
And,
yes.
And we'll bridge that gap, right? Yeah, exactly.
There's a few of those of us parents, we're not fans of playing.
Yeah.
That will go unnamed.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, and so that's what we're doing. And so, yeah, every one of the games we make will definitely be family friendly.
Okay, cool. And then, so you got Battle of the Bards. So is there anything else you have new in the horizons that you're
talking about early enough? Yeah, so we've got one game which we don't even have a title for. We have a so it's a 2-player only cooperative game with asymmetrical gameplay.
Oh wow.
Where one person is I'm afraid to say this. It's really good.
Okay.
It's real I'll say it. So one person is an agent and the other person's a hacker in a kind of like James Bond scenario.
Oh neat.
And so the hacker player is trying to like essentially open doors and discover like a password that the other player knows.
Okay.
So they'll have like a word, kind of like a, you know, like a password.
Yeah.
And then the other person essentially guesses it. The hacker guesses it as that person is running around inside the building trying to like destroy bad guys and get through stuff. And
oh, neat.
That was the game I was working on before this epiphany for Battle of the Bards hit.
Oh, okay.
So
you got
that game's actually
that one for a little bit.
Just a little bit.
One?
It's actually really close. So like we could have been showing that game off also, but there's only
so much space
on the team,
yeah,
and there's only so much space in our booth, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we put that one on the side. There's a really good potential that next year we could have both these games for sale.
Oh,
right?
Neat.
So just because we're iterating in a weird way, this Battle of the Bards thing just came out of nowhere. It's like side game, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
All right. So then, when will Battle Bards? I believe you said it was going to be hitting Kickstarter pretty soon.
Oh, of course. Everybody's broke as a joke in this world, so you have to. Nobody not Kickstarter. Get out of here.
Right.
So we'll probably do something like December, January, probably January.
Okay.
Yeah, which is when everybody goes. So okay. I'll be that one guy screaming like, everybody look at me, while 15 companies are like at 2.2 million, and I'll be like, hey, I'm making 20,000 over here. I'm happy with it though.
Hey,
we're good.
Indies rock. You got to support the indies.
You know? Totally. Yeah.
It's fun. You guys help. You know. Help build up the industry too.
Totally.
Not just the big boys.
I know. I just think it's a funny issue to have, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's fun, and we do have a really passionate following, and we're really obviously very appreciative of everything that they do to support us. So
awesome.
It's awesome.
All right. Cool. Well, thank you very much. Where can everybody find you online?
JunkSpiritGames.com.
Okay. Great. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
Have a great day.
Cool.